And while we examine the situation of the ruined salmon season, let's talk to Zeke Grader. He's executive director of the Pacific Coast Federation of Fishermen's Associations. Hi, Zeke Grader.
Hi, how are you, Andy?
I'm fine. It's good. So good to have you back.
Thank you.
Zeke, explain to me your position. You're not a fisherman. You're more of an interface between the fishermen and the politicos. Is that accurate?
Well, we're their trade organization, and we're actually a federation of organizations, and it sounds a little bit like something you hear on Prairie Home Companion, but that's basically what we are. But our job is to try and represent the interests of the fishermen, which includes everything from trying to look out for making sure the resources protect, and we have abundant resources, to some of the more mundane but important things, such as trying to get health care for them and other things that trade groups do.
Wow, that's really a setback then in this case, because whereas normally you could focus on things like health care, now you have to focus on basic income and keeping families fed. I mean, this is a real step back.
Well, that's right, and basically we're trying to do two things. One is we're trying to make sure that fishermen can survive this. This will be the second year, and of course this year is far worse than last year as far as the regulations go, with probably 90% or more of our season lost because of what's happened, and it could be much more than 90% loss, depending on what happens when the season reopens for the fishermen, and that's only for a portion of the California coast on the 26th of July. But the one thing we do have to say is that our congressional delegation, a number of the members of California, led primarily by Congressman Mike Thompson, it's a great team of George Miller and Lynn Woolsey and Anna Eshoo and the others, plus the Oregon members, David Wu and Peter DeFazio and Darlene Hooley and others, was that on Wednesday, they basically almost closed down the Congress to at least get the $2 million placeholder, which then does open it up for us if we can get a disaster declaration to get the full amount, the $81 million that they're talking about, plus the money for the Klamath to do some fixes there, which is going to be so important so that we're not going to be looking at disasters every year.
Well, let's talk about that disaster declaration, because the way we're hearing it now is that no one can declare a disaster, or they're positing that no one can declare a disaster until next year after the salmon season is over. And by that time, you've already had people lose their boats, their home, and their livelihood. So what's the way to bring this closer in the future?
Well, the problem is to put it bluntly, is the administration is lying. They were warned about this problem. We did a letter to them almost exactly 2 years ago. It was on the 14th of July in 2004. We had sent and warned them that they should begin preparing for a disaster declaration, that we were looking at the downturn in Klamath stocks, and actually kind of outlined how to deal with it. They tended to blow it, or they did blow it off, I think in part because it was election year, and they would have been admitting that they had admitting culpability for what had happened in 2002 and thereafter with the fish kills and the Klamath. But the fact of the matter is that there is no process. The Secretary could have and should have declared a disaster last year for the cutbacks, and certainly should have done it this year. It was evident. I don't think how much more evident it could have been with the regulations that were adopted that what little fishing they provided was going to be a disastrous season, and they could have acted. And now to say they can't make a decision until February is disingenuous on their part. That's not true. They could do it right away. In New England, for example, when the red tide hit there, they made a decision in 3 days, and here we're talking about basically 2 years to act. That's egregious.
That really is egregious. Talk about the governor. Has he been there for you, and how much weight does he have to turn the situation around?
The governor has been very good, and I think that the benefit of this has been is that by having Arnold Schwarzenegger, Republican, and Governor Ted Kulongowski of Oregon, a Democrat, the two of them acting together, sends a clear message to Congress that this is a bipartisan, bi-state concern, and that Congress needs to act. And the governor's office, in fact, we're on the phone with them today. They were looking at, you know, what other steps they could take to try and help, at least from the state level. Unfortunately, what the states can do is pretty limited. Most of the federal disaster relief we look to is from the federal government. But they have been, and I will say this, been very helpful, particularly their Department of Food and Agriculture. Our Department of Fish and Game, unfortunately, has been less helpful and has shown very little leadership in this area. But from the governor's office himself and his staff, they've been extremely helpful, and that is appreciated.
What could the Department of Fish and Game be doing that they're not doing?
Well, I think at a couple things. One is that they've shown no leadership as far as trying to deal with the problems right now in the Klamath, dealing with the fish kills. Certainly we had the fish kills occurring, but there were steps that could have been taken to try and ameliorate the problem, try and lessen those impacts, try and do contingency planning. Moreover, they have been missing in action as far as calling for the types of steps that need to be taken to ensure that the Klamath River and its tributaries are going to be productive. So, they've been the real disappointment in all this, but certainly the governor's office itself has been, I think, very good.
So am I hearing you correctly that if we put aside this disastrous salmon season, that the issues in the Klamath are still with us and can produce the same thing happening again?
Yeah, it's exactly right. It's going to happen again and again unless we deal with the issues. Now, for the long term, of course, and this is what everybody talks to, because the agencies and the tribes and ourselves and the conservation groups are all pretty much of the same mind that the dams in the Klamath have to come down. They're causing not just a fish passage problem, that is cutting off fish to the upper reaches of the river, which they have for 60 or 70 years now or more. But the worst thing is they're creating real water quality problems in the river that are just killing the fish. So we've got to take those dams out. But in the meantime, and that's maybe 10 years away, is there are steps that we could be doing right now in the river to at least improve the situation. It's not a good situation, but there are things we can do to make it better. And we're simply not doing those taking those type of steps, determining where there are disease outbreaks, how to get the fish around the areas of the river where there are these parasites that have caused these massive fish kills. Looking at places where we can get additional water. There are no contingency plans, for example, in place to deal with either disease outbreaks or what is probably likely to occur, another dry year or series of dry years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's downright likely.
Yeah.
Talk about, and this is something I'd really like to leave our listeners with, some people will hear about river pollution and fishermen and a limited salmon season, and they really don't think it has anything to do with them. This is actually a topic that has tentacles into all sorts of major important issues. How would you relay to the average person why this is important?
Well, I think, first of all, just from the standpoint of what it does to our coastal communities, $100 million salmon fishery in California for the commercial fishery may not sound like much in comparison to other things, but for these local coastal communities that people go to, that helps really support a lot of their infrastructure. It's a thing that helps draw tourism there. The people want to come and eat the local seafood. Those fish, of course, go onto our local markets. They supply a healthy food source for people. And it's really part of the character. It would be like, taking the lobsters away from Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing here with the salmon along the California coast and pretty much along the Oregon and Washington coast as well. It's the thing that really characterizes the coast. The salmon and the Dungeness crab are sort of the icons of the these coastal economies. And so It's important from that standpoint, but it's also I think it's part of our culture, part of our history, having these fisheries. This is one of the state's oldest industries. It helped in the formation, particularly along the economies and the communities on the coast. And so, losing it is not just losing some of the economy or losing the jobs, but it's also sort of losing something that is California. It'd be like losing the wineries or even losing Hollywood. I mean, it's sort of part of what we are.
Of course, there's the extra added benefit if the fishermen are successful with this and the congressmen and senators representing the fishermen, it will represent an instant of calling the Bush administration to task for a mess it has created. And that has incredible reverberation across the country.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's clearly, and I don't mean to sound partisan here, but the Bush administration has made just a total mess of this. And I think if you were going to, I know the city of Berkeley is going to be voting on whether to impeach him, but I think if you did the same thing in the fishing fleet, the question would be is not whether there was the majority voted to impeach him, but whether or not it was by a 90% or 100% margin to impeach him.
Zeke Grader, thank you so much for explaining this all to us.
You're welcome. Thank you, Annie.
Zeke Grader is Executive Director of the Pacific Coast Federation of Fishermen's Associations.